Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you precious people out there. And who are you precious people? You are the heart and the soul of Blood River Radio. That's who you're listening to. You're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And just in case you don't have a calendar out there, even if you're interested, this is August the 26th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Almighty God, Jesus Christ, 2023. We always say every single program that there is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. And this is a rock solid, hardcore, I may say maybe unorthodox, but we're hardcore Christian. We go nowhere without saying a prayer. We have my brother, my leader, your leader, if you're leading the South, none other than Dr. Michael Hill. He's going to open up with a prayer. Go ahead, brother Michael Hill.
All right, thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for yet another day and another opportunity to speak the truth to the willing ears out there. We pray now that you'll give us the words to say, to do honor to you and to the cause for which we represent. Lord, I pray that you will equip us to be your good and faithful servants, give us strength, give us courage, and give us victory over our enemies and yours. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Dear Blood River Radio family, we also have another guest on too. A matter of fact, I'll tell you who we got. We opened up with one of the heavy hitters on August the 12th, which is the anniversary for the Battle of Charlottesville. It was a huge watermark in history. You may say, well, we talked it too much, but you know what? It'd be hard to say too much about that battle. But we have another closer. We have also one of my favorite people in the world. We have two of my favorite people in the world right now, Dr. Michael Hill and none other than Sam Dixon. How are you doing tonight, Sam Dixon?
Fine. I'll just say and answer to Dr. Hill's prayer, and the people of God said, amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. I've talked with Sam Dixon today. I'll make this short because I wanted to get these guys on the radio. I remember the first time I saw Sam in person was it was the Council of Conservative Citizens. I had just come out of the hospitals back in 2007. We were over in what they call the Quad City in Alabama. They have Sheffield, Tuscumbia, Muscle Shoals, and Florence, Alabama. We were over there, and I think we were in Muscle Shoals. But anyway, I saw him there, and Sam made a couple of quotes I'll never, ever forget. And I was just telling Sam just today that Dr. Hill told me a story about Sam, and I've never forgot that either. But since I've told it 100 times before, we won't waste any more time. We'll bring Dr. Hill. Dr. Hill's going to set the table. Our dear precious brother Sam Dixon is going to come in, and they're going to banter back and forth, and I'm just going to stay the hell out of the way and bring these gentlemen in and out of the breaks. That's what I love to do. I like to get the best people I can possibly find, get them on the air, and get the hell out of their way. And that's what we've done tonight. You can get no finer people on the face of the earth than these two brothers we have. Dr. Hill, Director of League of the South, and Sam Dixon has been there since day one. He's one of the board members. So anyway, Dr. Hill, my dear brother, General Hill, leader of Charlottesville, the leader of us in prayer as always. I got chills going up down my spine, but go ahead. Like we said, this is the closer. We're closing the 2006 anniversary celebration salute to the Battle of Charlottesville. And all three people on the radio right now you listen to where they were there. So go ahead, my precious brother. Take us away, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, Eddie, I appreciate you dedicating the whole month of your show, of your radio program to this very important event. And I like you, I think it will be remembered as a historical event because, for one reason, it scared the leftists, particularly the Jews, to death, and they immediately reacted to it. But you always want to make your enemies react to you, and we did that. And, you know, for that one day, we were on the world stage. The entire world was watching us that day. I've talked to people since Charlottesville from all over, and particularly from Europe, but from some other places as well. And they say that was the focus that day. I mean, that's what everybody was watching. And it's very unusual for people, anyone to get to be a participant in something that is that important and that garners that much attention, not just, you know, locally or nationally, but internationally. And yeah, I think it will be remembered. You know, when Joe Biden started his political campaign for president, the first thing he mentioned, he was doing this because of Charlottesville. And I think, as I said before, I was very honored to be in his first televised ad for his campaign. He had me in that marching down the street, Charlottesville. I'll be eternally grateful to him for that publicity. I'm honored to be on with my old friend Sam Dixon. I don't mean old in age, but Sam, well, if you are, I am, brother. But we met almost 30 years ago. Sam was one of the original founders of the league. And he told me something at the end of that 3 days we spent in Tuscaloosa forming the league. He said, "Michael," he said, "one of these days when you know you've started, you know, making some ground toward what you want to accomplish and everything," he said, none of these people today here will be with you." And there were about close to 30 people there. And you know, he was right. The only people of that original group who formed the league, who are still with the league, are Sam and me. So he was absolutely correct about that. And at the time, I said, "Oh, Sam, you can't be serious about that." He was, and he was damn right about it too, I'm telling you. But I'm really, really proud always to talk about Charlottesville. And as I've said before, on the various anniversaries, and this is the month of the sixth one, of course, that I could never be prouder of a group of people than those folks who marched with us in that column down Market Street, East Market Street, on that hot Saturday in Virginia 6 years ago. I could never be prouder of a group. They put it all on the line. That was a very potentially dangerous situation for people. We were outnumbered tremendously. And the cops made it very clear from the very beginning that they were not going to intervene to do anything on that day. Of course, they'd intervene later, as they're doing now. But it was a setup. It was a trap. But it was something I thought we had to go into to show that there were Southerners in particular out there who were willing to stand up and defend their culture, their heritage, their people, and the memory of their ancestors. And we did that, and I have no regrets about it. And we have somebody who's a good speaker, Sam, on here. I'm going to get out of his way and let him talk about this for a while. Sam?
You know, Dr. Hill, say one thing. What you just got through saying about what I was calling Professor Sam, I respect him so much. Sam and I told Sam, there's two quotes I knew from him that I've never forgotten. The first one I heard him say in person, and that was that same story you just got through telling. I told that to Sam today. But anyway, I think that's, you know, what I don't know if you call that deja vu or whatever, but we talked about that today. But anyway, now I'm getting the hell out of the way. Go ahead, my brother Sam.
Well, first I wanted to say how honored I am to be on with the two of you and with Michael Hill. I wanted to say that one of the things that I like about the League of the South is that it has an eye on the future. One of the odd things about white people in general and about Americans and Southerners specifically is that they are, to the extent they're focused on anything except sports and so-called entertainment, they're focused on the past. There are probably 10,000 societies in the South dedicated to things like preserving some mansion or house, or, you know, certainly there are in the country 10,000, you know, preserve this or preserve that. And that's all very fine and good, but the most important thing is preserving the future. And the League is one of the very few organizations that is actually thinking about the future. And I do not include agreement. I don't think that geographic secession is going to work. I think racial secession has to be a part of it. But I think that everybody I know in the League of the South understands that too, that there are many other dimensions to this. And I'm impressed by the fact that the League has grown into this position, that the awareness of these taboo topics is much higher now than it was decades ago. Throughout the South. So anyway, I listened to what Dr. Hill said about Charlottesville, and you know, and that's all very true. It's all true. These were brave people that fought the fight and stood their ground and did the best they could under really very disadvantageous circumstances. The other thing, though, is that it brings again to mind the tremendous ability of the system and its media to lie about things and to completely misstate what happened. And that's what has been done in the Charlottesville.
Sam, we have to take our first quick break, brother. We'll be right. Don't lose that thought. We'll be right back to you as soon as we go to this break. Dear people, don't move an inch because you got two of the all-time greats on. Be right back.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, without any other delay, we're going to go back to my brother, bless his heart, Sam Dixon. We're going to go right back to where he's talked about what went on at Charlottesville, how he was so proud of the people at Charlottesville. I'll tell you what, I've done very few things in my life that I'm as proud of as being in Charlottesville. I just happened to be there, but my God, and I told people, I don't think my grandson or the other younger people really realize the gravity of what Charlottesville meant. It seems to go over their head. But anyway, with that, I was just telling you, I was so proud of it and so proud of the men I was there with. But go ahead, Sam, and continue on, brother.
Well, it's an example, a very clear example of how the system lies. how shameless its spokespeople are, and how shameless journalists and politicians are. Everything one hears about it is absolute falsehood. They spin this yarn that all these different people went there to rally around the Leaf statue, that we were in a conspiracy to go visit, violate the rights of other people. And it's sort of like an Italian spaghetti western. They all got out of our cars and said, "We gotta take this town." But it wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. The people who were trying to attend the rally were attacked. They didn't provoke anyone. Our enemies were lying in wait. They came after obvious, elaborate preparation. They brought water bottles full of love that had been frozen so they could really hit people with them. They brought pepper spray. They had used Kotex, and they had bottles of urine, and they had planned all of this, and they had conspired. And I think it's pretty obvious they conspired with the media and they conspired with the authorities. And, we did nothing except try as best we could to defend ourselves against these vicious criminal attacks that took place under the bemused and benevolent eye of the police. And we know all that, and it can be proved beyond any doubt by the city's own report. They hired a former federal prosecutor, named Timothy Heafy. And there are some honest people. He's obviously not one of us, but they hired him to make a definitive report on what happened. And he turned in a definitive report, and he said what happened was the black police chief, Chief Thomas, instructed the police to turn a blind eye to criminal behavior so as to create a pretext to prevent the white people from having their meeting. And he tried to obstruct the investigation by threatening that he'd have the job of any cop that revealed to Heafy that those were his orders. But some cops did. And as a result, the police chief, Chief Thomas, had to resign in disgrace 48 hours after the report came out. And of course, you have to hand it to the journalists. They did their usual masterful job of airbrushing the story out of the public eye. But we have the Heafy report. It's by their own lawyer, their own hired lawyer, and it tells the truth. But that has had no impact on the establishment and its lies. Mary Louise Kelly, on All Things Considered, on national radio, she goes on talking about the vicious haters at Charlottesville, Anderson Cooper. They know about this Heafy report. But the truth never deters them. There is no level that these people will not sink to. And that's good. Let them sink to their own self.
Yeah, we were not even able to use the Heafy report as part of our defense in our trial in Charlottesville.
Damn.
We couldn't. The judge would not let it be admitted. It was a so-called hearsay. I learned a lot about the legal system in that court case, and I learned how the truth was not of prime importance, because if it were, the Heafy report would have been front and center as part of our defense, but they wouldn't of course let it be admitted as evidence. So, but yeah, it was a dangerous situation, and what people seem to forget is that we had a permit to be where we were. And Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all their supporters, they didn't. I understand that they had a permit to be at some other park, and they just basically moseyed on over our way and blocked our advance into the park, and we were left with no alternative if we were going to get to the park and get in there and participate. I was one of the speakers, and I think we had at least one or two more of the planned speakers in our column there, so we had to get through, and since they locked arms and wouldn't move, we just went right through them like men should.
You couldn't retreat either. They're behind us. Yeah, the only hope is to go forward and try to meet up with friendly people. I walked with just three or four or five people in a straggling procession of people going in. Yeah, I thought I don't make any claims to be any brave hero. And I thought, This is a hell of a situation. I wish I were out.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was dangerous. It was really dangerous, particularly if you were in small groups of people, because the reason that we went in with a column of 400 to 500 people is because we knew from previous, from looking at things that happened in Berkeley and other places where Antifa and Black Lives Matter were operating, what their tactics were. And we knew that there was strength in numbers, and not only strength, but safety in numbers. And a lot of people who tried to get in small groups, you know, two, three, four people, were set upon and actually beaten by these people. So that was our strategy from the beginning, is to go in together for safety concerns.
Well, yeah, you were concerned, but here again, I mean, I had heard of the Antifa attacks in Berkeley and stuff, but this was something that's entirely new. You know, to have them in these numbers, there must have been at least 3,000 or 4,000 of them.
Sam.
Several to one. I never before had I heard of a situation in which the police simply stood by and twiddled their thumbs while people were throwing rocks and bricks and water bottles that had been frozen. You know, you hit somebody with one of those things in the wrong place, you kill them. It's called an aggravated assault. And under the Georgia code, it calls for a potential 20-year jail sentence.
Yeah.
But all of the police departments had been ordered by Chief Thomas, probably with the consent and connivance of that Governor McCullough, to withhold police protection as a pretext to deny First American Amendment rights to these white people who were rallying behind the Lee statue. Now, they like to paint a picture of the South as just this terrible the place of oppression of black people and so forth. I don't know of a single Southern sheriff or police chief ever. I mean, the whole history of so-called Jim Crow and the so-called civil rights movement, who ever instructed the police, don't give any protection to black people. Let some kind of group of white hooligans attack them and beat them up and try to blind them. You know, Chief Thomas and the forces of righteousness, according to Mary Louise Kelly and Anderson Cooper, they stand alone in this achievement of having a police chief who descended to the depth of Chief Thomas. But you won't hear that on All Things Considered, and you won't hear it on CNN.
No, I think Chief Thomas, if I'm not mistaken, somebody quoted him as saying, "Let them fight."
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Creating a pretext with which to prevent the rally people, the people attending the rally, from having a meeting, because he was furious, and so was the city, and so was McCallum probably, that the federal court had said, no, you have to let them have a permit to have their meeting.
Yeah.
And that phrase, just African American, he doesn't think white people should have a permission to have a meeting.
That's it.
And of course, he speaks for 100% of liberal whites, apparently, and a huge section of the African American community. And he's got the blessings. It wasn't just the police turning by. He's got the blessings of National Public Radio and CNN and MSNBC and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the New York Times. They also know that the story that they peddle over and over again is a complete reversal of the truth and a total pack of lies. And again, this is not because of people like Sam Dixon and Michael Hill say so. It's because their own paid lawyer to investigate it turned in that report.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they call an admission against interest.
Yeah. And, you know, Sam, they had the left had this narrative already written before the day was over on that August the 12th, 2017. They had this narrative already prepared. And, you know, the thing is that the people who were pushing this false narrative, they weren't there. We were actually there and saw what happened. And these people were not. And that just burned me up.
Dr. Hill, we have to go to another break. Gentlemen, we have to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. I'm really enjoying this interview. Be right back, people.
Your daily Liberty News. Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Longtime host of The Price is Right, Bob Barker, has died at the age of 99 at his home in Los Angeles. His publicist says he died peacefully Saturday morning. Barker hosted The Price is Right from 1972 until he retired in 2007.
Help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.
In 1999, he was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Emmy for daytime television. Civil rights leaders are marking the 60th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic march on Washington. Organizers say an estimated 75,000 people are taking part in today's rally at the Lincoln Memorial. Donald Trump is maintaining his lead in Republican polls, but the gap with Ron DeSantis has narrowed after the first GOP debate. A Public Opinion Strategies poll of 400 Iowa likely GOP caucusgoers indicates DeSantis gaining ground, rising from 14% to 21%. Trump has dipped slightly from 42% to 41%. Vivek Ramaswamy had the biggest decline, falling from 10 to 7%. 4 days later, and there's still no proof that Russian mercenary leader Yevgeny Prigozhin is dead. The leader of the Wagner Group reportedly died in a plane crash near Moscow on Wednesday night. Britain's Ministry of Defense said Saturday, while there's no definitive proof, it's highly likely that he's dead. Meteorologists say Franklin may become the first major hurricane of the Atlantic season.
Forecasters say Franklin has strengthened into a Category 1 hurricane in the Atlantic on Saturday. The storm is expected to begin impacting Bermuda by Sunday night. The National Hurricane Center expects the storm to continue strengthening, and Hurricane Franklin could become a major hurricane early next week. Forecasters are monitoring another stormy area in the Caribbean Sea and could develop into a tropical system as soon as Sunday. That system is expected to move toward the Gulf of Mexico, where it could form the Atlantic Ocean's 10th tropical system this year.
This is USA News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAVEL for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAVEL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAVEL for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I just asked Sam, we won't go into it because it's too complicated, but one of these days, if I get time, I'll go over what I just heard from Sam, our distinguished attorney, of why federal marshals weren't sent out. I just had an education during the break, and I was really, I'm just stunned at how the system is. I knew it was stacked against us, but I found every time I think I know exactly how much how we were handicapped in this movement against the legal, so-called legal system, the judicial system, I found out something else. But anyway, Sam, I believe you were speaking before. Dr. Hill. I think Dr. Hill was speaking before we went to the break. So go ahead, Dr. Hill, if you remember where you were. Take up where you were, brother.
Well, I'd kind of like to steer this back to something that we were talking about together during the break here, and let Sam go and explain how the system is stacked against people like us. Sam, if you want to pick up with that, I'd love to hear it.
Well, I'll start from a different perspective. One of the things that surprised me, I was not a naive kid. My father said I was an old man the minute I learned to talk. I never was a child, but I was a cynic. I was a pretty wide awake kid, even in high school and college and law school. But one thing that I'm surprised at things. And when I became a young lawyer, I was surprised. I went out on my own, left a big firm, I was surprised. I would have the most extreme people imaginable come to my office, you know, Nazis, Klansmen, and they would want to go to court and sue.
Blood River Radio guys.
I came to realize these people had some kind of strange, superstitious idea that when these ordinary political figures that become judges put on a black robe, that all of a sudden in some mystical way they are changed from political operatives in the system to straight arrows, and they would have to follow the law. That is not the way courts work on any level. They don't work that way. But there was this really childlike trust in the system, and you cannot. It's almost impossible for somebody on our side to get justice from a court. It requires a judge who's willing to incur considerable impact on his legal career to rule for us. They pay for this. They get back at judges to do this, and the judges know this, and most of them are signed up for the system, getting to the suit that was filed against Michael and the League of the South and all these others. This suit, was going to be an outrage that you can sue people who go to a political meeting under a theory that if somebody commits a crime, they're all a conspiracy, and you can paw through 1 million emails and tweets. I'm told that's how many Roberta Kaplan, the plaintiff's attorney, and her staff and her huge network of supporters, they reviewed 1 million emails and tweets and all this sort of stuff, and they came up with almost nothing. They came up with little things like, we ought to fight for our rights. And they said, well, see, they said fight, you know. They sued people who weren't even there. They sued people who played no role in organizing it, all this sort of thing. And Moon said that this was a valid lawsuit. That this is okay. Had it been the other way around, and the League of the South and these other groups had been filing suit against Antifa and all the collected, the 39 priests and clergymen that showed up and discussed violence the night before, as we well know they did, had we filed something against them, our suit would have been dismissed in 30 days, and we would have been presented with a court order to pay $30,000 or $50,000 in attorney's fees. If what they said is true, if this is really a legitimate theory, ground for lawsuit, and if this is a nation, with liberty and justice for all, which it is most assuredly not, but if everybody had a right to file these suits, no prudent man would ever attend any political meeting of any sort. Because if something gets out of hand and somebody commits a crime who comes to your meeting, your political meeting, you're liable for unlimited punitive damages and being sued as a conspirator because you went to the meeting. Nobody, left, right, middle, Democrat, Republican, whatever, whatever, no prudent person, only saints and brave people would ever go to a meeting. Wow. They just make it up as they go along. The facts and the law, it's nice to have the facts and the law on your side in a courtroom, but I can tell you from years of experience, it doesn't count for much.
Sam, how long has it been that way? You know, Sam, how long has the system been that corrupt, that bad against us? And then I'll shut up and go to Dr. Hill.
I have a feeling it's always corrupt. I mean, you know, it's the state of mankind. You know, the people are morally flawed. And, you know, Solon, the great Greek lawgiver in Athens, once made a cynical statement, the law is a net that entangles the weak while the strong break through.
Wow.
And I have a feeling that's all. If you were a peasant, you know, tending your barley field in Northumbria, in Great Britain, in 1100, what chance would you have had of suing the manor house lord in a court? You would have had any. And that's the way it always is. It's always that way. And, you know, Mrs. Brezhnev never shopped in the same store as Olga from the Volga, who lives on a collective. This is the way life works.
I guess you should phrase it this way, then I will shut up. How long has the system in this here so-called United States, how long has it been weighed against us? Was there ever a time when the system was in our corner where we were at the disadvantage?
I think it was. Without being an anti-Southerner or an anti-white, and without being some kind of goofy-eyed social justice warrior, I doubt that a Negro slave had much protection against a plantation owner, and I'm not here to demonize all of you. I've got ancestors that didn't have slaves. I'm the one that did. And I suspect my ancestors were kind to their slaves, but a slave couldn't sue his master. The criminal law did apply to slaves. You couldn't kill a slave, couldn't rape a slave, couldn't do certain things to slaves, but that was in theory, and I doubt they could. So I think in pre-antebellum times and sometimes under segregation, blacks could not get justice. But we can't get justice now. I think whites cannot get justice anywhere in America. The courts, the judges, the FBI, we all see with the Trump thing what the FBI is and always has been and was back in 1965 when they arranged the murder of, when they were involved in the murder of Mabala Lautso. So, which created a martyr to help get the Voting Rights Act passed. They've always been like this. And you go back to 1944, have either of you, both of them are real leaders in our cause, have you either of you heard, you may have, of the Great Sedition Trial of 1944?
Yes, sir, I've heard one of them. Mm-hmm. And also there's a Great Sedition Trial Pastor Thomas Robb, those got group of them, but that was after that was pre, has been since 1944.
You asked how far back. In 1944, Franklin Roosevelt indicted about 36 people and put them on trial in Washington, D.C. Wow. And these people were a mixed bag. They included Lawrence Dennis, who was actually a mulatto, who wrote for liberal publications like the New Republic, but he had criticized the war. And they wanted to shut him up. They included Elizabeth Dilling, the famous anti-Semitic writer. Mm-hmm. And they included six German spies they had apprehended when they waded ashore on a beach in Florida to add the sauerkraut taste to it and get the jury really going. But what they did was they had a little prostitute, one of the kind of little nasty little journalists that we know about and deal with today, who wrote to these people all over America and asked them, can you send me a pamphlet about, something you've written about President Roosevelt? And they did this so they could get venue in Washington, D.C. And once these people sent their pamphlets, they indicted them all, threw them in with these German spies, and had a nine-month trial in front of a jury in Washington, D.C., of these people under a theory that Roosevelt was the commander-in-chief of the armed services, and they had criticized the commander-in-chief, and they were conspiring to get the army to mutiny by criticizing it.
Yep.
Now, that fell through. The judge died, fortunately. They had to start the trial, or they had to send in the trial, and the war ended, and the hysteria that people get into in America when we have a war, it came to an end. But that's what kind of thing was doing in 1944. These people were bankrupted. They were totally ruined. And that's what the system did.
Sam, we got to go to a quick break, and it's been bad all the way up to 44. People, be right back. I cannot believe how fast this hour is going. Hang on, people. Don't go anywhere.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, man, I wish we had about four more hours. We're getting an education during the break. I never knew this stuff. I'm just plead ignorance. But anyway, we're going back to Dr. Michael Hill. He's got a couple of announcements he would like to make to our loyal families out there. Go ahead, Brother Hill.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that we are having a professional revamping of our website, which is www.leagueofthesouth.com. And it should be done, I'd say, probably within the first half of the coming month, September. And as I said, a professional revamping of the website, something that we've needed for a while. And I just want to let you know that if you're interested, we'll have a lot of interesting stuff up there on that website pretty soon. And I'd like to also mention that, we had a very successful meeting back last month in early July over in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, a one-day
yes.
meeting that Sam Dixon was so kind as to speak at for us. We're having another one of those in Tennessee. I'm not going to reveal the details right now, but I will give you the dates. It's going to be the 3rd or actually the 4th of November, which is a Saturday. And the speakers I've got so far, I'm going to try to vary the speakers a little bit. James Edwards of Political Cesspool is going to be there. Eddie Miller would be there if he didn't have to run the marathon. And Dr. Kevin MacDonald is going to be there to speak as well, and yours truly. And I'm probably going to add one more speaker to it, but we're going to be trying to do three or maybe four of these one-day conferences a year because we have so many good speakers, and I want to move these around where people will have an opportunity to hear these speakers and come and meet some League folks and all. So just mark your calendars for the weekend of the 4th of November, and I'll be releasing more information to League members on this. We're going to have to try to keep it a little bit on the down low, as they say, until closer to the time. We don't want to give Antifa time to organize and come out there and try to cause us and the people where we're going to be in their city any problems. So we'll be putting stuff out on this as we approach November. So, but we had a great turnout in Traveler's Rest at Dixie Republic, and we're looking for another good turnout here in November. So,
Dixie Republic was great. That was my first time there. I had an amazing time up there. We rode up there with the brothers. Sam Bushman, the guy who he's the founder and owner of Liberty News Radio. He came down to Memphis, to Memphrica, with his son-in-law, And I picked those two gentlemen up, and we on the way to James Edwards' house. This is a quick aside. But when we opened the door to pick James up, James heard, I guess, all this cussing and this raving like a lunatic. And he said, damn, the argument had already started all over. I blasted, and I'm not bragging, I peeled the hide off of Sam's son-in-law. I mean, because he said a few wrong things about race and things like that, you know. And Sam, come to find out, Sam stirred it up on purpose because he said he wanted to throw his son-in-law to the wolves and get him baptized in the fire of a fire of the fire-breathing Southerner. He said he could think of no one better to tear the hide off of him than the Bobadier. So yeah, he was absolutely trying to look for a way. He did everything but try to crawl out of the damn window by the time I got through with his ass. And we edumacated that dude on you got to watch what you say about the darkies in the South. Anyway,
he was giving him a baptism of fire, wasn't he?
I tell you what, that dude got fire and brimstone like he ain't never heard before, I'm telling you. But then we departed great friends, great admirations of each other, and we all had a wonderful time. But, you know, Sam, I tell you what, you've almost depressed me, but tell me about it. I knew the legal system was hopeless, but my God, I didn't know it was that bad. But anyway, Dr. Hill, would you like to ask some questions to Sam before we go back to him? What would you like to do, brother?
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell everybody that those videos of the four speakers from Traveler's Rest are going to be posted on our revamped website. So be looking for those. They were four really good talks, and you don't want to miss them. But no, I'll Sam knows a lot more about the legal system than I do. He's an attorney, and I'm not. And he's been in it for a while. I've only had brief experience. But Sam told me one something a long time ago. He said, "Michael, stay out of the legal system if you can."
And well, man, why did you?
I tried. I tried. I really didn't know how serious he was about that. But, man, I have learned my lesson. I do not want anywhere near that corrupt system again unless and until it changes, and I don't foresee that happening anytime soon. So,
wow. I don't know what to say. I really don't. Unless, would you gentlemen like to, since this is the last week for Blood River Radio, the last week that we're going to be on the air in August in honoring Blood River Radio, would you gentlemen like to say, I have a note here somewhere. What does, and overall, if you can, in the big picture, what was the significance of Charlottesville then, now, and in the future, politically, socially, legally? Would you like to take off on that, Dr. Hill, and then go over to Sam? Would you like to do that?
Yeah, as I said, you know, it was something I felt like we had to do, and I think it will go down as one of the as a piece of history, American history, because of the response to it. And it's not over yet. I mean, the repercussions of Charlottesville will last for a while. And you know, as Sam pointed out, it was a sort of warning to people on our side. You know, don't go to political rallies and things like that. Well, we can't let that scare us. We need to be a little bit more circumspect about where we do these things. You ought not to do them in a blue city, college town or something like that. But we have people out in the hinterlands, as it were, flyover country, where we can go out and do things in more friendly territory like that. And we always need to hold up the example of Charlottesville as an example of the courage of people who would go into the lion's den, as it were, into enemy territory to defend something that was dear to them and something that obviously deserved defending, and that is the statues that memorialize our heroes. And obviously we don't want to look back, as Sam was talking about earlier, except to draw inspiration from these people. You know, we need to learn by their example, and we need to replicate that example for the future, because these were great men and women who are our ancestors, and we need to be as good as they are, as they were.
Yes.
As we move ahead and try to leave something for those who are coming up behind us. And Charlottesville, I think, will be a stellar example of courage. And as Sam pointed out, we were greatly outnumbered, and we were certainly in the lion's den, as I said. And we came out of it. We're still in one piece, thank God, and I pray that we'll continue to be that way. As I said, I wouldn't take anything for having been there, and I wouldn't, you know, the people who went there will have my eternal gratitude for their bravery and their dedication to a just cause.
That's a great summation right there. My only regret is we couldn't go back. That was great, Dr. Hill. I knew it would be. Brother Sam, would you like to how about you chime in? We got about 3 minutes.
Well, I think we need to realize that we must keep we must establish the true story of Charlottesville in contrast to the fake narrative of the system media and the politicians. And we're not very good at that. But there's some of us that are trying. We're trying to create a documentary out of it. And so we learned that. It's like the march, the iconic Selma Ridge story. That story is also has huge elements of falsity into it. But that was long ago. We don't have the necessary video material and stuff to show that. But we can show it in Charlottesville, and be very very practical and leave the poetic, like what Michael was saying, the very practical. There are specific practical lessons we learn. One is what Michael was saying, that you're careful where you have the rally. But there are others, too. The only two people that were let out of the suit, one of them was my friend, the late Bill Regnery, a magnificent person, a righteous Yankee. And he was let out, I'm very sure, because he had an umbrella policy of insurance. And as a result, his insurance company had to defend him, and they had to pull in one of the biggest and most prominent defense firms from Richmond in the state of Virginia.
Wow.
And I think the judge let him out because they didn't want a lawyer in the court. They didn't want to screw over a big firm like that.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't want a first-rate lawyer working free, disrupting the show trial. So one lesson we learned is we need umbrella policies. Other lessons. Take as many video cameras as you can. You know, we've got some very good video material. There's so much that we didn't get. And so you need to, I would say drones. We should have drones over our meetings because it's easy for them.
Excellent idea.
They can lie about ground level pictures. But when you have the drone pictures, you can see, no, the Antifa are simply attacking these people. They're not responding to anything. So drones is a lesson we learned. And then flash mobs. Identity Europa used to have flash mobs, and they did this in Nashville, Tennessee. They told people there'd be a demonstration to be in a general, you know, quadrant of the city, and they'd be told by cell phone, and we swarmed to the Parthenon and put on a demonstration on the steps of the Parthenon with banners being prepared. By the time the Antifa showed up, it was over, and people were getting their cars and going away. But the media did our job for us. They gave massive publicity to this. And so, you know, flash mobs is a way to do things.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought about that. That's a damn good idea.
That's what we did after Charlottesville for several events, and it worked very well.
Well, I'll tell you what, I sure wish I could speak up there where it's going to be speaking. Damn, I've scheduled to run my sixth New York marathon. As a St. Jude hero, we raise money for St. Jude. That's what this evil, racist, bigoted, homophobic, you name it, anti-Semites. That's what we do. We raise money for St. Jude. But damn, I wish I had that schedule.
Let me say something.
I wish I could.
You are 76 years old. Only
yes, sir.
1 year younger than I am, and you need to heed the Greek saying on the altar of Apollo at Delphi: "Not all things in moderation." You are too old to be running in marathons.
See, I don't run ultras. Well, I don't run the ultra marathons. That's further than 26 miles. So I figure, hey, that's moderation. I'm not running 100. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hill. Thank you so much, Brother Sam. That's one of the best hours I can remember with having. Thank y'all so much.
Well,
I'm going to get back with Sam. I have an idea.
Thank your listeners who are willing to listen to us babble for an hour.
Well, yep. Well, I'll tell you what. They're used to putting up with me, so I know good and well they can put up with y'all. But, yes, absolutely. And thank Liz, daughter Lizzie for making the show go. Thank our listeners. And God bless you people. Thank you people. Hold on. We're transitioning to the second hour. We'll see you in just a few minutes. Goodbye, brothers.